This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Barbara Bogave. Each week, we welcome questions about money from all of you. And do feel free to get in touch at marketplacemoney.org if you're struggling with a personal finance decision. We have the chance to put you in touch with some of the best pros out there. And one of our favorite advisors is Carmen Wong Ulrich, author of The Real Cost of Living, Making the Best Choices for You, Your Life, and Your Money. And she joins us today to set us all straight. Welcome back to the show, Carmen.
Thanks, Barbara. Great to be here.
Well, let's dive right in, shall we? Ready to take some calls?
Yep, ready.
First up, we have Jamie calling in from Minneapolis. Welcome to the show, Jamie.
Hi.
Hey there. What's on your mind today?
Well, I've been a stay-at-home mom for about 2.5 years. And it recently came up that I tried to apply for a credit card and found out that because I don't have income and I don't have enough what they called revolving credit history, I wasn't able to get one.
Oh, I am so steamed up as a woman, a wife, and a mother. I can barely sit here.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, do you have a checking account or a savings account in your own name or your
own?
You
know, it's a joint account with my husband, and it's through the credit union at his work.
How about retirement savings? Anything in your name?
I do have a 401k in my name.
So your question is, what's going on?
Yeah. How do I build some revolving credit or... what do I do? What's my first step? I know that I've always heard that applying for credit cards and getting denied kind of dings your credit history, and I don't want that to happen.
Well, Jamie, not necessarily. It's more so the fact that you're being rejected. I mean, and here's the thing, ladies, and Barbara, you got steamed too. You know, with the Card Act of 2010, which brought about a lot of good change, one part of the change that I'm not happy about is the fact that you must have income in order to get credit. Now, the danger of that was they put that in place to protect college students from all those card solicitors. But the problem was that stay-at-home parents got hit badly by this. So, Jamie, the first thing you need to do is you absolutely need to build credit in your name. Any and all stay-at-home parents, you need credit in your name. You need a checking account, savings account in your name, retirement accounts. These things must be there because, unfortunately, stuff happens. And you need all those things to lean on should anything happen. So to build your credit, Jamie, go for a secured credit card. Now, a secured card, think of it as a card that you put basically a security deposit down on. So let's say $500 is down on the card. They hold that and then extend you equal credit. Now, you don't draw down the money since it's a security deposit, but you must use the card responsibly, and that is your limit. Once you do that and every month you use it, let's say you use it just for gas or groceries, and then you pay it off in full every month, you start to build credit. And then you'll eventually be extended credit. But the cool thing about secured cards is that you can choose one that's going to report to all the credit reporting agencies so that it builds your credit.
Great. That sounds like a really good first step.
Jamie, one more thing. I know many women in your situation have formed investment groups. I'm thinking that might be a nice support for you, you know, power in numbers.
Sure, sure.
Team up.
Thanks for the advice.
Good luck. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Jamie.
Carmen, I thought you might suggest, because in the old days, you would go to a department store and get a credit card.
Well, credit is credit. So the department store would probably reject her as well.
Ah, back in the day, it was very easy. They'd just throw them at you.
Yeah, back in the day, we could get, I remember my dad, our dog was getting credit card offers back in the day. And so he would fill out magazine subscriptions with the dog's name, and then we get the credit card offers in the dog's name. But so, yeah, I mean, things have definitely changed. And you know, there is quite a vocal group right now who's kind of trying to fix this fact because it does handicap stay-at-home parents. So if you are planning on staying at home, make sure that you keep credit in your name and you keep using your own cards and just pay it off in full. Just use it for one thing so you don't go crazy and just keep that credit going.
Okay, I'm still boiling a little bit over that, but moving on. Let's stay in wintry Minneapolis. That's where our next caller is. Grace, welcome to Marketplace Money.
Hi.
Hey there. So from your email, it looks as if you are one of our very financially put together listeners. Congratulations.
Yeah, kind of lucky.
Yeah, tell us about yourself.
I have been out of college now for just about 3 years. I luckily don't have any college debt to pay off. And I'm kind of at that point where I'm starting to look a couple years down the road and thinking that I might want to, you know, have kids and be able to house and feed them and things like that. And I'm also not super nuts about my job, and I'm also considering that I might want to, you know, start my own business in a couple years. And I'm kind of just wondering about how to save money, you know, between now and retirement. I've got an IRA and a 401k and stuff like that, but I want to sort of be prepared for maybe 10 to 20 years down the line, and I'm not sure where to put the money that I'm saving to do that well.
Grace, you wrote us that in your email that someone had approached you trying to sell you some permanent life insurance policy at your age with no kids.
Yeah, and that I had never heard of it, and I, you know, ran it by my dad, and he's like, you're 25, you don't really need life insurance.
That really makes me angry because insurance is a product that is sold, unfortunately, and it does have a lot of high commissions, so it tends to be pushed. And you have to be very, very savvy about not just looking at, oh, the return and, oh, the tax-free and all that stuff, but looking at actually the parameters of it, which means your money would be locked up.
Hey, Grace, one more question for me, and just tell me to butt out if this is too personal. But you have a boyfriend that you say is planning perhaps to go to graduate school. Are you planning to support him or at least partially support him through that?
No, I mean, right now he's in school and, you know, he pays his half of the rent and I pay my half and he's, you know, paying for school on his own. So that's kind of, we're keeping our finances separate at this point still.
Smart all the way around. Yeah, you're way ahead.
Good
way
going,
ahead of me.
Grace. Keep it that way.
Thanks for calling in. We'll have you advise people next letters segment.
All right. Well, thank you so much, you guys.
Thanks again. Take care. Well, rounding out our tour today, Carmen of the Midwest, we have Nuruddin calling us from Flint, Michigan. And hello, what a beautiful name. Am I garbling it, Nuruddin?
No, that's actually how you say it. That was really good.
Well, where do you come from originally?
I'm from Lagos, Nigeria.
What brought you to Flint?
So Kettering University College, basically.
Ah, is that where you went to engineering school, as you wrote us?
Yes, I did graduate in December.
Ah, now what would you like to run by Carmen today?
Yes, so basically I have a gift from my parents, so of some money, but I have to invest it in something long-term, so basically an investment in my future. But I'm not entirely sure how I can do that in the United States because I've tried maybe, you know, going through maybe Charles Schwab or somebody like that and see if I can invest in the stock market. But I can't exactly do that since I'm not a citizen, I guess.
Okay, so electrical engineering, at least we know you're probably good with math. How much money are we talking here, if I may ask?
$10,000.
Okay, so a starter nest egg, Carmen. What should Nuruddin do?
Nuruddin, I realize that seems like a lot of money, but I worry that it's not necessarily enough to be worth the cost of getting tangled up in taxes and other fees and all that sort of thing that you may get if you invest and need, let's say, to go back and want to take the money back. I totally understand your parents saying you need to invest this money, you know, not spend it like crazy. But if there's a way that you can kind of hold on to this for a bit until you're out of school and you're situated, are you planning on working in the United States?
Maybe 2 years, but I would have to go back home, though. I have OPT, which is like something you get for like a year after the visa.
Right. And see, that's the thing is that if you're going back, you don't want to lock this money up in a U.S. investment that could cost you more in terms of, you know, getting entangled and stuff. Also, I think it's good to see if you end up getting a visa or getting a different status. Let's say if you get a great job offer. And that's the good thing about, you know, after college, like the world is open to possibilities and you could get this amazing offer that keeps you in the States for a while. And you may need that money to get an apartment and furnish it and that sort of thing. So, I mean, I just feel like, you know, when you get out of school, there's just so much that's up in the air that I'm not a fan of just saying, oh, yeah, let's just, you know, let's put it in the market. You can go through one of the big boys, you know, Schwab, Fidelity, whoever, and you can. It's not necessarily that you can't. It's that there's a lot of rules about it. And there's taxes and there's situations in your own country in terms of bringing the money back. So you just want to be a little savvy about that. But it's definitely not worth right now you worrying about where am I going to sink this money in so much as let me just protect it and hold on to it. And then see what happens when I graduate.
And what does that mean? What should he do with it?
Really, just hold on to it in a savings account in the bank. I'm not kidding. some folks may disagree and say, oh, you know, no, let's take advantage of the housing market or this market or that. I err on the side of caution with all of these things, especially since when you're young, things are a little tumultuous.
So you have a really nice emergency fund, Nurdin.
Yes, or startup or personal startup, you know, career fund.
Right. Now you just have to get through, you know, advanced circuitry or whatever else you do in EE in grad school. Best of luck with that.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. Well, that brings us to the end of our calls today. Carmen, my head is always clearer after listening to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Thanks so much for having me.
Carmen Wong-Ulrich is a personal finance journalist. Her most recent book is The Real Cost of Living. And thanks again for this.
Thank you.